We're going to look this morning in Exodus, and I would ask this morning a question. How do I know that you're a child of God? Now, you should know that you're a child of God because His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, and the fruits of the Spirit are growing in your life daily. So you yourself should know that you're a child of God, but how do I know? By what evidence is there that I can tell that you're a child of God? Is it because you go on mission trips? Is it because you work at the food bank? Is it because you're doing all these good deeds? Is that the only way that I can know that you are a child of God? A lot of people, you know, they love to tell you that they're Christians. They can't wait to tell you, oh, I go to church and I'm a Christian. And what I've learned over my lifetime is that the reason they have to tell you that they're Christians and they have to tell you that they go to church is because they are not the church. Because there's no other way that you would know if they didn't tell you. There's no evidence in their life that they have been born again, that they're redeemed, that they have a new nature. So they have to go out and tell you. You either go to church or you are the church, okay? There's a big distinctive difference in that. And did you come to church this morning, or are you the church this morning with the purpose of worshiping? But how do I know? You see, we're going to look at some biblical truths here this morning because it's pretty neat. Moses, the way that people knew that he was with God is that his face began to show. It was red. It was glowing because he had been in the presence of Almighty God. And that's how they knew that he was with God. But let's look at in these verses right now. This is in Exodus 34. And we're going to begin in verse 29. It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin on his face shone because of his speaking with him. So this is something that happened to Moses. He didn't realize it till he got down, and everybody said, oh my gosh, you know your face. Have you ever been there and like, oh, you got a pimple on your face? I mean, people always tell you what you already know. Did you know that? I mean, isn't that the likelihood? Oh, did you not know that this, or did you not know that about you? And really? Oh, I didn't know that, you know? Oh, you're short. Well, I didn't know that. Well, God, thanks for telling me I'm short, you know? People are ignorant, aren't they, just pretty much? Bible says we're stupid, by the way, and that's in there. So, again, this he didn't know this. He had been with God, and he comes down from the mountain, and he's glowing. He's glowing so much that, according to Scripture here, that listen to what they say, that they're afraid of him. What has happened to you? So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. What had happened? What is wrong with you? Then Moses called them, and Aaron and all the rulers in the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterward, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord has spoken to him on Mount Sinai. So again, understand that Moses was put in a leadership position, and I don't know why we think that these are suggestions from God on how to live. God doesn't suggest anything to mankind. God doesn't make suggestions. Do you realize that? He makes commandments. And commandments are not to be discussed. Commandments are not supposed to be evaluated by us. We're simply to obey them regardless of whether we agree with them or not. And he's commanding these people, hey, you know what? This is what God says, and this is what you're going to do. And there's no discussion. You know, that's a good leader, right? That's how a lot of pastors should begin to take over the authority that they have in their churches today, is they ought to say, thus saith the Lord, instead of letting the congregation get together and decide what the good deeds are in this world, which are not good deeds at all, according to what Scripture says is good deeds. Okay? We're allowing the world to dictate to us what the commandments of God mean or say instead of looking at what the commandments of God say. But they didn't have a choice. You have to understand that these people did not choose God. They were chosen by God. And I don't know that we cannot grab this biblical principle or not, but he owns us. We are not our own. We've never been our own. Whether we're children of God or not children of God, we're not our own. If you're not born again, you're not a child of God, you belong to Satan. And Satan is your father. To be have God as your father, you have to go through an unnatural birth, a spiritual birth that God talks about, okay? So these commandments, you understand that these people, when they got freed from bondage, and it's pretty amazing how the Sunday school lesson matches what I'm talking about now, but when they were freed from bondage in Egypt, they thought they were going to be free. There's no freedom in freedom. Do you understand that? And then freedom is not free. It comes with a cost. And these people had this ideology that that God was going to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, and they were going to get to live their life any way they wanted. And they didn't understand that that they were being released from the bondage of Pharaoh, but into the bondage of God. There are no other options, folks. There are no other options for humanity. You're either bound by sin, and your father is Satan, or you're bound as a bondservant to Christ, and then a servant to Almighty God. And that's the only solutions that you've got. There are no other solutions. This ideology that you're your own, that ideology that you get to do what you want to do, and it doesn't matter, it does matter. God is showing us through the Old Testament that this old covenant doesn't work, and it's useless for us, and that this old covenant kills us. It killed every one of us. We're born dead in our trespasses of sin. So that's why these commandments were given by Moses, so that these people would come to the end of the point, and that you and I would know that there's no way to keep the commandments of God. There's absolutely impossible for anyone in the flesh to be able to keep any of the commandments of God. Can't do it. And if you do it, it's not with the right heart, because you're not born again. So if you're not doing it in the Spirit, then it has no value to God at all. So it said, when Moses finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Okay, he put a veil over his face. Why? Again, so they couldn't see it. They wouldn't be afraid. So that also the longer time that he spent away from God, the shining became dull and began to fade away. So he didn't want them to see what was going on. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off as respect. Again, there's a biblical principle even in this, is that Moses always, even though he was, you got to think about being invited by the creator of this world up to Mount Sinai to speak to Almighty God. This is an incredible thing here. It's like, it's like being invited to the White House by the President of the United States, right? And boy, who would he pick me to come and speak to the President of the United States, you know? This is creator of the world has picked in this one man, and he never, until later on in life, when he became so worn down by his ministry that God had given him, that he slipped up and began to take credit for what God was doing, and he didn't obey him. So again, there's a biblical principle in that too, that we can become so worn down that we always got to be on guard to watch ourselves. But Moses had respect. He always had respect for God, and he would remove the veil from his face as a showing of respect to him. Do we show God respect today? How have you shown respect to God this morning? See, we have to get to the point in our lives where we begin to understand that just gathering together every Sunday is not a mundane thing. I think we have forgotten that God allows us to come and worship him. If you came for any other reason this morning than to worship him, and to be equipped, then you came for the wrong reason. If you did not prepare to come, you're not going to get anything out of this. Well, I don't get anything out of church because you're not the church. How many times do you hear that? Huh? I don't get anything out of that. It's because you didn't put anything into it. Okay? I hope that we're learning by now, as you saw how God delivered them and they had to take the best of their herd and slaughter it. It had to be a year of age. Had to be a male. Couldn't be a female. It had to be a male. Had to be a year of age. Had to be without blemish. So they had to take the best. And then they had to take that blood and they had to put it on the lintels and the doorpost. Okay? To be able to receive this deliverance, because God was sending a death angel, a destroyer through the land of Egypt to kill all the firstborn males in the household and also the animals. He didn't even spare the animals, okay, the first males that were born in the house of the animals. So, but they had to follow this to the T. And if you didn't, if you just, well, you know, and this is our lackadaisical attitude that we have for God. Well, I'll just put blood on the doorpost. I'm not going to go get a ladder and put it up on the... That's too much trouble. I'll just put it on the doorpost. Well, if you just put it on the doorpost, your first male would have died. Okay? If you hadn't chose a female instead of a male, the firstborn in your house would have died. If you had chosen one any greater than a year of age, the male in that household would have died. Do you get what I'm getting at? God is very specific on his commandments, and he expects us to carry them out in detail. Again, you don't keep his commandments to be saved. The commandments were written to show you that you need to be saved. But once you're saved, then the commandments of God on your life become very real, okay? And that's what we need to understand and focus on, that you have to do it the way that God says you have to do it. Religion will never lead you to the cross. It can't, because there's no truth in religion, okay? There's no truth in religion, okay? It changes things. It makes and does what it does. And you say, well, how can you say that? How can you say there's no truth in religion? Because we have all these denominations that are telling everybody something different. And God says there's only one God, one faith, and one truth, and one spirit. So you can't have a bunch of denominations running around telling people a lot of different stuff. This was a commandment from God. Moses didn't come up with his own commandments. He just specifically was a spokesman and said, God says this. If we would just read the scripture and say, folks, this is what God says. Now, you deal with it. Okay? Instead of trying to answer for each and every individual. That's not our responsibility. As a pastor, as an evangelist, or as a teacher, is not the responsibility and tell you how do you deal with this. That's between you and God. My responsibility to tell you this is what it says. And we're not going to argue about it. We're not going to discuss it. Okay? Because this is coming from Scripture. This is what it says. And that's how we're supposed to live our life, folks. This is thus saith the Lord. Okay? Don't get into this situation theology where, well, it just depends. Just depends on my mood that day. Depends on my circumstances that I'm in. No, God's word is true and piercing regardless of your circumstances. It's not about you at all. It's about him. And Moses realized that. He removed it. But whenever Moses went into the Lord to speak to him, he would take off the veil, come out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel what he had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. So Moses would replace the veil over his face until he went in to speak with him again. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Begin in verse be verse 4. It says, such confidence as we have through Christ toward God, not that we were adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. So what does this say? We don't bring anything to this table. This is where religion falls down, is the fact that religion is your attempt to please God. This tells you that our adequacy is not in ourselves. Our adequacy comes from the help that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I must go, because when I go, I'm going to send a helper. And it's the Holy Spirit that will convict the world. You don't have a responsibility to convict the world. The Holy Spirit does, okay? And the Word of God is what convicts us, not somebody or some preacher or some teacher or some mother or father or whatever. We have no responsibility in convicting others of their sin. It's the Holy Spirit. See, when you're born lost, you don't know that you're lost. Did you know that? When you are born lost. So when we go out and ask people, are you lost? I mean, is that not a ridiculous question to ask people that are lost? Are you blind? I mean, when you're born blind, are you blind? I mean, well, I guess I'm blind. I don't see. Is that what that means? I mean, so when you ask people, are you lost? What does that mean? They don't know that they're lost. Okay? Until the light shines in the darkness to show them that they're lost, they don't know they're lost. So apart from the Word of God, they'll never know they're lost. Do you know the Lord? That's not the question to ask either. The demons know the Lord. The question is, does the Lord know you? Because Matthew chapter 7 says that if he doesn't know you, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. See, we ask the wrong questions. We're not asking the questions according to Scripture. Our adequacy is not from us. The adequacy that we have is from God. God gives us everything. He does it all. He does something for us that we cannot do, that humanity cannot do. Religion cannot do this for you. God, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The reason the first commandments were given was to kill us. It shows that we're spiritually dead. It shows that we're spiritually separated from God because we falter in the commandments. You're guilty of one of the commandments. You're guilty of the whole law. Okay? So therefore, we're all guilty. We went and saw a movie yesterday called The Red One. Okay? It's got The Rock in it. You know, The Rock, you got him in it. Dwayne Johnson, I think, is his name. I'm not big on names with movie stars and stuff because I don't put them on pedestals and things, but I think that's his name. And the whole thing about this movie was the fact that there's a wicked, they called it a wicked witch, but she was a witch, and her purpose was to punish all the people in the world that were evil, because Santa always gives gifts to everybody that, disregardless, you just get gifts, okay? And I learned yesterday where the naughty list came from. Krampus, is that his name? Krampus is Santa's brother. And Krampus decided that those that are on the naughty list should be punished. Well, Santa didn't like that, and so they had their parting of ways. And I don't know if you've seen the movie Krampus, but anyone that's evil, he goes in and punishes them. Well, the wicked witch, you know, was going to do something that Santa couldn't do, and that's going to punish all the people in the world that were on the naughty list. So if you had lied, cheated, stolen, murdered, and as they had said, well, gosh, you're talking about everyone in the world getting punished. Just threw that out there. That's a good point, because we're all guilty. Telling you that story has come to the point. Even this movie brought out the fact that we're all guilty. There's no one not guilty. Okay? Bible says, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? So we're all under this condemnation. See, the condemnation has come. Okay, God's already judged the world. Now the actual judgment comes at the end time, where we receive the punishment for that judgment. Okay, and Christ came so that we would not suffer his wrath. Okay, and we're to believe in God, and we're believing to the Son, so that we become his disciples. So through discipleship and the fear of God. You see, if you read the Old Testament and you can come away and not fear God, I'm not sure what you're reading. I'm not sure what you're reading. I mean, they stoned their children for back-talking. You know, they had no children that were disobedient. Did you know that? This had a nation that had no children that were disobedient because they killed them. Oh, you don't like that, do you? It tells us who God is and how he expects, and how this letter of the law was written to show us that we can't keep these commandments and we can't carry out the judgment of these commandments. He wrote it for our good. There's glory in this. Okay? Because if we never know we're lost, and we never know that we fall short of God's glory, and we never know that we're undone, and we never know that we're spiritually dead, then we can never come to the conclusion of becoming that child of God that we need to become so that we have eternal life with Christ. We need to know this. People need to know that it's not what they're doing that makes them, but the fact, why are they doing it? And if you don't get a new nature and you just turn over a new leaf and you just kind of start doing good deeds, you still have the old nature. And because you have the old nature, you're still dead in your trespasses of sin, and you're spiritually dead. You're spiritually separated from God. You can't worship him. You can't serve him. And these are the truths of Scripture that are very daunting to us, because that's not what we want to hear. That's not the God that we want to serve. That's not the God that we want to have created the universe, is the one that's so demanding. He goes on to say, but if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, why did it come with glory? Because God was in it. So that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face was fading as it was. The reason his face was fading is because it wasn't a permanent situation for Moses. It wasn't a permanent situation for the nation of Israel. You see, the sacrifices of doves and goats and bulls would forgive sin, but it couldn't change the nature of man. It couldn't cleanse man from sin. So this old covenant had to go away, and God was going to bring a much better covenant, one that would be everlasting. How will the ministry of the Spirit fail to even more with glory? Okay. This ministry is carried out by the Spirit of God, not the letter of God. It's based on mercy and grace, the fact that God would even allow us to participate in this. The fact that he would even consider us. Who are we? We are just dust. Who would we be that even God would consider us? The fact that he would give such a great gift to humanity, that he would allow us to participate in his righteousness. You see, the nation of Israel never wanted to become righteous. They wanted to be free, physically. And that's much what religion does. It wants to give you this false sense of spiritual freedom without the lordship that comes with it. You can't separate your salvation from the lordship. He's Lord of your life, whether you acknowledge it or not. And so when you understand these truths, you can now begin to see, when things start happening in your life, what God's doing. He's molding you. into the character of his son, Jesus Christ, so that your circumstances don't dictate who you are, but you dictate your circumstances. Okay? That's a big difference. Where are you at in your life? Are your circumstances still able to dictate how you treat your wife when you come home from work? How you treat your children? Your co-workers? Is life so upheaval in your life now that it's determining how you respond and react to people around you? You see, it should be who we are that determines how we respond and act to people. Okay? And that's into an agape love, that we can love our enemies. We can love those that treat us wrongly, and we still love them and do good for them, hoping that God may grant them salvation, that God might grant them a light in their darkness so that they may come to the revelation that they're lost and come to the revelation that they need a Savior. The problem is religion never brings someone to the point where they need a Savior. They just need a deliverance from hell. This is more than just a deliverance from hell. You are become a new creature by the new birth experience, by the born again, where the Holy Spirit comes and resides in you. And then that battle begins in your life to destroy and kill what has already killed us, and that's sin in our life. For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. What's this a ministry of? Taking you to heaven? Has this ever been a ministry of taking you to heaven? No. It's a ministry of righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. Again, the nation of Israel proves this in the fact that they never wanted to become the righteousness of God. We today, in our false religions, don't want to become the righteousness of God. That means I have the character of God. That means I do everything from a holy standpoint. My decisions are not based on my feelings. Decisions are based upon God's righteousness and what is right. I'm going to do what is right. Sometimes I don't like that. Sometimes I can't wait till I get to that point in my spiritual walk that when I do what's right, I have joy in it. Right now, I'm still battling the fact that I'm going to do what's right. I'll sit there and mouth off a lot of times. My family knows this. I'm not going to do that. And I always end up doing what's right. And it just makes me so stinking mad that I always end up doing what the right thing is. And I don't have the joy in doing what's right yet. Sometimes. Sometimes I do. But that's the growth process. Okay? That's part of this sanctification process where God brings us to the point. And I can't wait till I get to the point where I do what's right. And then I praise God and have joy with it. Because I still hang on to like, I deserve better than that. You know what? I don't deserve to be treated like that. Huh? Folks, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about we represent Him. And our character must emulate the character of Christ. That's what this is all about. Is that we become like Him. And we take over and we control our actions and don't let our circumstances do that. For indeed what glory, and this is verse 10, for indeed what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. Okay? So what this means is that, you know, if you got like an old car and you love that old car, and yet then you get a new car. Well, the love you had for the old car leaves because you have now this love for the new car. So the old law had glory, but the new covenant surpasses that glory because it does something for us that the old could not do, and that changes us. It makes us a new creature. So therefore, it has more glory. So, yeah. Therefore, having such hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Can you speak boldly about what God's done in your life? That's why religion teaches you to use the Roman road and all those kind of things. Because the Roman road doesn't tell anybody what he's done in your life. It tells them a bunch of scriptures that they can't understand. But have you shared the battle that you're having with folks that are struggling? And how the scriptures opened your eyes to your blindness and to your lostness? And how you worked out that discipleship with the fear and trembling, that not knowing if God would grant you salvation or not. And that it blows like the wind, that salvation, I can't try to make it happen, but it comes when God gives it to me through my discipleship process. Have you shared that with anybody? He didn't give you this to keep it to yourself. Okay? I think it's a farce just to tell people when they're struggling, oh, just have faith and give it over to God. I mean, what does that do? Yeah, that's easy for you to say if you're not going through what other people are going through. I think we are the most insensitive people on this planet. I think the people that call themselves Christians are the most insensitive people on this planet. Okay? When you're struggling, the last thing I want to hear is, have faith. No, how about a hug? How about, I'm here for you? Huh? How about, we'll walk through this together? How about I'm going to invest my time in you to make sure that you get through this? Huh? Why don't we put our actions to where our mouth is at? Because religion will never do that. But someone that's a child of God, who has experienced and know what it's like to be lost and then be found, can then help people that are lost, to help them to be found. See, when we just throw out a bunch of scripture, that doesn't help anybody. In verse 13, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. Okay? He tells us that the old, and look at Hebrews. Hebrews is an incredible book. Read it. And it tells us about this transition from the old covenant into the new covenant, and how Christ, the Son of God, becomes the high priest for us and intercedes for us. Something that we can't do for ourselves. You cannot go to God by yourself. And Joel Osteen, I want to enlighten you this morning. The only way humanity can go to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. There are no other ways. There are no other way. Christ said, I am the way and I am the truth. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father but through me. But their minds were hardened for until this very day. See, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it was removed in Christ. So the more we focus on the old covenant, there'll be a veil that's not lifted. Only Christ can lift the veil. The veil prevents you from being able to see. You know why it's there? I mean, brides used to, I think, have a veil over their face or something like that. So the groom, I'm not sure, I don't understand that exactly. I want to see that face before I marry it, don't you? No, I mean, you lift that face. Ah! No, it's too late. No, I'm not sure why there's a veil. But anyway, the veil is there so that people can't see in, I guess. And when we're sinful and we're reading the covenant and we try to do this by works and we try to do this in the flesh, there will always be a veil there that doesn't allow you to see truth. Christ is the only one. He says, I'm the truth and the way, okay? So he tells you that, okay, so that we would know that our hope is in Him and not in ourselves and what we're doing. Now the Lord is the Spirit, okay? Whether you like this or not, God is spirit. And those that worship him must do it in spirit and in truth. Okay? I didn't write that. So all you that gather together this morning and you're not in spirit and truth, you're not, your worship is in vain because you're not true worshipers. Now the Lord's Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. So basically, because I'm not born under the law now, and I'm born under grace, the law can't condemn me. There's no condemnation for a child of God. So I'm out of that condemnation. It's not based on what I do anymore. It's based on who I am. Boy, there's liberty in that. Now, does that mean I get to live my life any way I want and sin and all this kind of stuff and do all those things? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. It means I've got liberty now to become the righteousness. You have to get freed to become the righteousness of God. If you're still entangled with sin, then you can't become become his righteousness. See, we need to tell people that that's the purpose, is that you become God's righteousness and not go to heaven. We need to tell people that it's about you becoming God's righteousness. And then they'll ask, well, how do you do that? And then I'm hoping by this point you can tell them how that happens. You have to become a disciple of Christ. And through that discipleship and being taught by God, you come to the saving knowledge of who he is. And these are all scriptures that I'm quoting. This is not my own method. It's how God tells you how it happens. And then one day the wind will blow. It's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it goes, but you'll know that it's been there. And that's how salvation happens. And we have to allow people to be saved by God and not by man's denomination and religion. And then I'll real quick finish. I'm going over a little bit today, but I won't charge you for it. You can pay me the same. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit is, there's liberty. But we are all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror. What does a mirror do? Reflects back, doesn't it? The glory of the Lord. So as Jesus Christ was the glory of the Father, you become the glory of Christ, which then gives glory to the Father. So, and this is kind of what this verse is saying. Are being transformed. What are you doing? You're being transformed. Okay? Not by the oldness, but by the newness of that nature. You're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Okay? From the glory of Christ to your own glory. Just as from the Lord to Spirit. Okay? So it's kind of a neat lesson, kind of a neat message. The truth of God brings that freedom and that liberty to become his righteousness, and we must remember that.